Michigan Common Sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
You know, back in the day, I drove a lot of Volkswagens. I know that's probably hard to believe. I started with a bright canary yellow Super Beetle. Oh, yeah. That was me. Mm-hmm. Had a Dasher wagon, a Rabbit, a Golf. Oh, I had all sorts of Volkswagens back then. But it was the Super Beetle. You know, bright yellow. I mean, that was me. Hair was a little longer. Might have been a little less serious about life, too. But let me tell you what is serious. This settlement with Volkswagen over cheating on emission standards. Their chips were smarter than they were supposed to be. Created a big problem. Joining me to talk a little bit about it is Paul Carrier, Western Michigan University Cooley Law School professor who teaches courses in international law, explaining why Volkswagen may have taken so long to agree to a settlement. Professor, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
We're talking about, what, $10 billion here. I mean, it's no small thing. But there was talk at one time that this whole scandal could, you know, force Volkswagen into bankruptcy. Obviously, that hasn't happened. $10 billion, a very bitter pill, but they can handle it. Tell me how we arrived at this point to begin with, if you could.
Well, I think that one of the main things to think about is the fact that the people that were working on this particular problem knew it in advance. And so you've seen other settlements before, for example, when the Ford Explorer had bad tires. And typically something happens, people learn that there's a danger after it starts to happen, and it's not pre-planned. And so one of the problems here is that this was basically concocted purposefully and so it's not as if anyone's playing catch-up. They actually created this problem themselves, and there's a bit of a kind of an intent behind it. And so that might be one of the reasons why the settlement amount is going to be so high. Another problem is that the $10.2 billion is, I wouldn't say it's the tip of the iceberg. It's very large, but there are still some possible fines out there. For example, with the FAA for false advertising. And so Volkswagen might not be done. And it is my guess that Volkswagen is participating and thinking about paying such a high amount so that perhaps the claims that might remain from government fines will be minimized.
Well, right, and they are. I mean, $10.2 billion, like I said, is no small thing. It's very significant. And there could be some other additional penalties out there still to come. But it is something that Volkswagen can handle. I mean, depending on who you talk to today, the two biggest car companies in the world are Volkswagen and Toyota. And Volkswagen is now on the verge of being the biggest producer of transportation, private transportation in the world. So it's a giant company now, producing a lot of units. And I don't know, did this hurt its sales and so forth? I don't know if it hurt its sales because I still see Volkswagens rolling out of the showroom and I see them going down the highway. Did it hurt the company that way, do you know?
Yes, it did. I don't know the exact numbers, but the markets have definitely taken a hit for Volkswagen. What will happen, though, is, obviously consumers tend to be relatively intelligent. And so once the problem is fixed, and especially if the prices are reduced a bit for the autos, then my guess is that people will be back buying Volkswagens.
So in the end, ironically enough, and what occurs to me as you say that, so Volkswagen's going to have a bit, they're going to be on sale for a while, I think is a good way to put it. The Volkswagens are going to be on sale, and therefore, price sells, you know that. Price sells in so many places, so if Volkswagen's discounted its price, it could move volume, and maybe it could make up that $10 billion a little bit quicker than if the cars weren't on sale.
That's probably true. And so, if it's actually handled correctly, then Volkswagen can come out looking pretty good in the end. Obviously, what was done was not good. But, it's these large companies like Volkswagen find ways to continue. And so I don't expect that's going to go out of business.
No, I was just going to say they cheated on their emissions test here. For anybody that didn't realize, they were cheating, and the cars were giving indications of what their emissions were, and their actual emissions were different, coming out of the tailpipe, if you will. But I mean, in real world impact, I don't know that it had any real world impact, except on the bottom line of Volkswagen in the end. It's, I mean, environmentally speaking, it would be marginal, my guess.
Well, that's something that is actually very hard to quantify. And so, you know, how can you prove with the small increments spread over basically not only the country but the world, how can you prove its exact damage to health? And that would be impossible to do. And so,
well, just call Al Gore. Al Gore can put a figure on that, I'm sure. I'm joking, of course. it's almost impossible to figure out. But they did cheat, and whether no matter where you are on the Al Gore scale, I guess it's hard to figure out. But they cheated. They got caught, and there's the penalty. Bam.
Right. And again, you know, the penalty's not quite finished yet, because what we see is the payments are now for the people who bought the cars and who actually paid for a certain vehicle with a certain emission standard. And there might be a little bit of environmental protection money in the settlement as well, but it's not over yet. And so we'll see what the ultimate price is. Again, though, as you seem to realize, my suspicion is that Volkswagen will find a way to thrive. And it'll take a little while to pick up the pieces. But I don't expect for Volkswagen to certainly won't go out of business.
No, they're not going to fold their tent. No, they're going to put it on a tent sale. They're going to make cash, and they're going to come out of this smelling like a rose, Professor, is what it sounds like. I guess I'm probably not getting money for my 73 Super Beetle. I'm getting nothing.
I'm sorry to say that might be a little bit before where this problem started. Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed to hear that, sir. I got to be honest. Anyhow, Paul Carrier, good conversation, good fun. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
There you have it, Paul Carrier, Professor Carrier from the Western Michigan University Cooley Law School. He teaches courses in international law. I bet he had a beetle, too. He just wouldn't admit it because he's got to go to class today. Kids would look at him going, what, did you have a ponytail, too? I'm joking. It is Thursday here on the program. Did I have a ponytail? I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not answering it. You have to find pictures. Prove it. We'll be right back.